I know that there are many here in this service who, for whom the words that I want to share with you will find ready acceptance because you have experienced in your own lives what we're going to talk about. But I also believe there are probably those here this morning who right now are struggling with great issues in your life. And you may be about ready to give up. You may be serving Christ. You may have committed your life to Him and all of that. But there are things in your life, and they can run the gamut of anything from the serious to the mundane. But the enemy is using them in your life to try to distract you and derail you and turn you aside. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to Psalm 93? We're going to read just a couple of verses, and then we will proceed from there. Psalm 93 reads this way: "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity." We live in chaotic, times, troubled times, times that bring great trouble to us. We are confronted with political and economic and militaristic, social, moral, physical, spiritual upheavals in our lives and in our world. If you don't believe me, just turn the news on, and you'll see that very readily. And even for the believer, for the Christ follower, it is possible for us to become discouraged. It's possible for us to question and say, if there is a God, and if He really cares about me and about us and about His creation, why are these things happening? And of course, the ready answer is sin's in the world, and that's absolutely true. Why am I struggling with overwhelming issues in my life? Things that just about drag me down. And doubt can begin to creep in. And again, even though you have committed your life to Christ, we can say, well, I don't know. I'm just not sure about God. If you've never felt that way, you're very blessed. I want to tell you something, though. There is good news. There is good news. God is sovereign over all of the ideas, over all of the actions, and over all of the reactions of mankind. In your personal life and collectively as a race of humankind, He knows all. And let me just stop here and say parenthetically, you're going to hear this for the next 20 minutes. God knows all. He is over all. He understands and cares about everything that is happening in your life and in His creation. The scientist and the astronomer are always mystified and astounded every time they find something new in ethereal space, that space outside of what we can see, beyond our scope of sight. The deployment of the Hubble telescope years ago has opened up for us new realms of wonder and of mystery that catch us by surprise and take our breath away. And you know, the irony of it all is that God has known firsthand about all these things from the moment of creation. From the moment He first spoke this creation into being, He knows and has known. But beyond all of this, beyond the fact of the outward creation, and more significant and important for you and me, is the fact that He knows and He understands what is going on in your personal life and mine right now. It's not a surprise to Him. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in your life, past, present, or future, that He does not know. We might like it to be different than that. We might wish that He didn't know. There are some things we might like to hide. But with God, that's impossible. You can't hide from Him. We might wish there were some parts of our life that are known only to us. Or we may doubt that He sees and knows the pain we endure, the confusion that overwhelms us, or the fear that inundates us and keeps us from being effective for Him. Or there's any multitude of other emotions and of other realities that come our way to bring chaos into our existence. You may have trouble believing that God is sovereign, that He's able to do anything about what's going on in your life. Well, the pages of the Bible, from the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of the Revelation, are filled with declarations of God's sovereignty. And these are what I want to share with you this morning. Now, there are going to be a lot of scriptures. The references are in your worship folder. I'm going to read them, and I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit will minister the truth of these words as we share them together this morning. And I would suggest that if we go too fast, if you don't understand, that you take your worship folder today, go home, sit down with your Bible, and look them up and read them in context. They are powerful. The first thing we have to know about God is that He is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere at the same time, all at once, and is knowing what's going on in all of His creation. Psalm 139:8 says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Isaiah 66:1, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool." Jeremiah 23:24, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Acts 17:27, Paul in Athens, you may remember the story, seeing the altar to the unknown God, and he's preaching to the Athenians about the one true God, and he says, "He is not far from each one of us." The intimacy of God. So God is everywhere, out in space and in your life. But He's also omnipotent. And that means that He is all-powerful, that He can do whatever He wishes to do. Job chapter 42 and verse 2, and we'll find a lot of our scriptures this morning are from the book of Job, because Job experienced a whole gamut of God's working in his life. He says, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Psalms 115, verse 3, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him." Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 13, "Yes, and from ancient days I am He, no one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, no one can reverse it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Jesus has just given a rich man the conditions for following him, and the man went away, and Jesus says to his disciples, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The disciples are amazed and say, how can this be? And Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then, of course, one of the ones that we all rejoice in around Christmas time, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the Virgin of Nazareth, and says, you're going to have a son. And she says, how can this be? And God, and the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. And he is also omniscient. He knows all. He's all wise. Again, from Job chapter 31 and verse 4, does he not see my ways and count my every step? I have to pause when I read that and say, do I want to think about that? And he sees my ways and he knows every step I take? He does. Again, from Job chapter 34, verse 21, his eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And finally, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, majestic in his holiness. Excuse me. Should have followed my wife's advice and brought my bottle of water up here. I don't like that to drink. He is majestic. And we oftentimes forget about the majesty of God. We think about some of the other attributes, but this one, Job again, understanding, he says, Job 37, 22, he says, out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. Thank you, sir. I will make use of it. Psalm 29:4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. If I were to ask you this morning, what does it mean for God to be majestic? We probably would get a variety of answers. The best one that I have been able to find is God is holy, he is righteous, he is awesome. We sat and watched a music video last night. One of the songs they sang is, our God is an awesome God. He reigns in majesty. And that's what we talk about when we talk about the majesty of God. Psalm 93:1, the scripture we read earlier, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Now, we ought to understand, and we need to understand, that when we talk about the majesty of God, that is a beautiful thing. And it can be uplifting. It can be exhilarating. It can be exciting. And we can rejoice in it. But we have to understand also that the majesty of God is a fearful thing. Psalm 96:6 says, "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary." And then in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 10, we read this, where Isaiah is talking about the awesomeness of God and the fearfulness of God's coming and of his judgment. He says, "Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty." We get excited and we have great thoughts of happiness when we think about the return of our Lord. When we think about, the Bible says, we'll see him in the clouds and all the angels with him. And I go back to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus took three of his disciples up, and Jesus was transfigured before them, and were given the distinct understanding that he, at that moment, he was clothed with all of the majesty and the glory and the beauty that was his when he was with his Father. And then we understand the next attribute, the next thing we understand about God, that he is immutable. That means he never changes. Psalms 102 and verse 27 says, "You remain the same, and your years will never end." Malachi 3:6, and this is one I like, because God was contending with his people for their unfaithfulness, and they had the idea that God would change. He would soften his position. He would do different than he had always done. And God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." And I can almost hear him say it with a firm voice, "I do not change." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, majestic, immutable. He is also transcendent, and he is immanent. Now, those two attributes may seem a little strange. They may not be ones you're familiar with, but they're very simple to understand, if we can understand God. To be transcendent means that God is larger than all of his creation. He's over it all. I was talking with someone the other day about this, and they just kind of said, we're talking about all of the galaxies and things that have been discovered and are out there that have not yet been discovered. And they said, you know, to think about it, God is over all of those things. And the picture that came to my mind is, I hope is not sacrilegious, but he's like a big umbrella. He's got it all covered. He understands it all. He sees it all. He knows what's there. He's transcendent, but he's also immanent. And this is the exciting part. He's small enough to live in your heart and in mine. He can be, and he wants to be, intimate with you. In your deepest hour of problem, distress, grief, whatever it is, he wants to be intimate with you. A songwriter a few years back, and I was going to check and see how long ago, and I didn't, wrote these words, "Though men may strive to go beyond the reach of space, to walk beyond the distant glimmering stars, this world's a room so small within my Father's house. The open sky is but a portion of his yard." How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. This shows to us a God who is involved in his creation, taking an active part in the affairs of nations and the individual. Now, what do we mean when he says sovereign? Well, you may understand this, but a simple definition would be, sovereign is supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion. We think about in olden days of kings who were sovereign. They had absolute control, absolute authority in their kingdom. And that is what we mean when we talk about God. He is in control and has absolute authority. But for us to understand very simply how it comes down to our lives, we have to turn again to the scriptures. And we find out that God does know. He knows everything. 1 Samuel 2:3, the Lord is the God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. Matthew 6, 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. 1 Corinthians 3:20, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. He knows and he cares. And the best example I can think of is how he cares is for his people Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30, we read, the Lord your God is going before you. He will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And perhaps the best description of how he carried that out is found for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. These is chapter 8, verses 2 to 4 and 15 and 16. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Wouldn't you like to have that experience? He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. And before he ever performed miracles to bring them out, he told Moses, Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, he says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, Jesus is talking to his followers, telling them not to be concerned with the temporal things of life. He says, for these things the pagans run after. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And I kind of smiled when Ryan was talking about the hairs of her head, because in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, Jesus says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. He's given the illustration of how inexpensive and worthless sparrows were. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter tells us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God knows, God cares, God is able. We might say, well, if he knows, that's one thing. And if he cares, yes, I understand that. But is he able? What I'm going through right now, what's going on in my life is so deep and so intertwined and so confusing and so mixed up. I don't understand it all. I don't know if anybody's able to take care of it. Anybody's able to meet my needs. Anybody's able to bring peace to my life. God is able. Job chapter 42, 2 again. I know you can do all things. You can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, being fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. What can you imagine God might be able to do more than that He can do? Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, speaking about Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore He's able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Finally, Jude chapter 1 and verse 24, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence with fault and with great joy, the ultimate. He is able, more than adequate to meet your need, to solve your problem, to give you peace. Okay, He knows. He cares. He is able. If you come to me and say, Gene, I have this problem, you can tell me about it and I'll know about it. It may arouse within me a great wave of sympathy and pity, and I care about you. I probably am not able to do anything about it. But if I am, if I have the means whereby I can help you, and stop there, it doesn't do you any good. God not only knows and cares and is able, but He acts in our behalf. Now, I have to tell you this, and it's in your bulletin, I believe. When God acts, it's not always the way we want. We might want ease and peace and quiet. When God acts, it's not always what we think is best. Walter Wanger, in his book, Whole Prayer, talks about the four parts of prayer. God speaks, we speak, God listens. God speaks, we listen. And it's the last part that we often have trouble with. We don't listen. He says, if we come to God and we don't listen, we've already got it figured out what God's going to say to us. We don't hear what He has to say to us. And so it is. When we've got an issue in our lives and we come to God, He does care. He does act. But it's not always what we think is best. And almost always, never are things easy to navigate. I doubt that there are many times where it's easy when God begins to move in our behalf to take care of the issue in our lives. It's never easy. Oftentimes He asks us to do the things that are most difficult. And the question then is, how badly do we want the issue in our life to be resolved? How badly do we want the pain to go away? How badly do we want the confusion and the fear to disappear and be dealt with? But I can tell you this, and I can promise it because I've experienced it in my own life. Always when God begins to act in our behalf, if we will allow Him, it's always in our best interest and for His glory. Always. The key is, are we willing to let Him do it? Are we willing to let Him take our hurt, our pain, our confusion, and deal with it? If we are, He will. We have to ask. If you're struggling this morning with issues in your life, whatever they are, and you've been asking yourself the question, does God really care? Or you've been ignoring turning it over to God. You've been thinking nobody cares, the problem's too big. I want to tell you again, God already knows about it, and He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come to Him. and give it all to him.